Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm John, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. Now I'm serving God full-time in a growing local church as a music pastor. West Coast prepared me both academically and spiritually for a great future in ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
If I asked you, what is God's purpose for your life, what would you answer? Most young adults don't really have a clear picture of what they should do after high school. In fact, there are so many options, the decision can actually be scary. If you're interested in discovering God's perfect plan for your future, or if you'd like to prepare to serve God in full-time ministry, then find out more about West Coast Baptist College at wcbc.edu.
Have you noticed that times are changing? Well, believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about changing times. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we have an all-new series entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to discover what the Bible has to say about what's happening in our world today. Stay with us. When it comes to predicting the future, the Bible is 100% accurate. Friend, let that sink in for a moment. 100% accurate. It's never been wrong. It never will be wrong because it's the Word of God. And when it comes to today's headlines and the economic and political unfoldings of our day, the Bible is 100% accurate as to the meaning and the direction of these events. It's amazing that God, thousands of years ago, gave us an unfolding description of what's happening before our very eyes on the world scene. Times are changing. That's the topic of this series. It's an all-new series preached recently at Lancaster Baptist Church with Dr. Paul Chappell. Pastor Chappell is the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And this program comes to you every Monday through Friday on this station. And we look forward to this series, Times Are Changing. If you'd like to subscribe to the daily podcast, you can take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. All of this and much more when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. Well, today we open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 through 45, as we study ancient Rome and the new world order. A lot of very insightful material just ahead. Buckle your seatbelt. Here's Paul Chappell.
Every day we hear news concerning the global economy, global warming, global issues of battles and fighting between nations. And it seems like now more than ever we hear people speak about global issues. The G20 countries met in London, where they spoke about their commitment to the global economy. The developing countries that were there in London gave their requests for more voting power regarding the issues of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. The terms like International Monetary Fund, World Bank, global economy, all of these terms are relatively new within the last 50 or 55 years in the world scene. And yet, every day we're reminded of the connectedness and globalism as a concept is rising every single day. Well, this morning, we're going to see that the Bible speaks about many of these trends that we're just now learning about in the day in which we live. And ironically, the truths that are given concerning this revival of a Roman Empire we'll speak about this morning, many of these truths were first given back in 586 to 602 B.C. It was at that time that Judah was taken captivity into Babylon. Daniel had been taken somewhat earlier than that into Babylon. And we know much about Daniel from Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. We know that he was a young man of purpose. He defiled not himself with the king's meat. He was a holy man. He was a man of God sent to that region of the world for a specific purpose. Assyria had been taken, had taken the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BC. But Babylon took Judah and had taken them away into captivity around 586 BC. Now, while Daniel was there and while the children of Israel were being held captive in this kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, the king had a dream. And of course, if you've studied the story in Daniel chapter 2, the king's interpreters were unable to explain the meaning of the dream. But in verse 24, the Bible says, as Daniel was brought before the king, he said, "Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation." Daniel said, by the power of his God, he would be able to give the interpretation. In fact, notice if you would in verse 28 what Daniel says. He says, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets." This was the spirit of Daniel. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets." He was saying, "There's a God that's above the gods of your helpers. There is a God that revealeth secrets." And so Daniel was able to interpret the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. And these interpretations have great impact for not only the kingdom in which Daniel lived, but for many coming kingdoms, including ones that are still in formation, or one in particular that is still in formation today. And this morning I want you to see with me some of the secrets that God revealed to Daniel that have relevance for each and every one of us this morning. Let's dig into it today. Notice, if you would, the prophecy delivered. The prophecy delivered. This dream came during his second year of reigning. About 602 BC is when Nebuchadnezzar received this dream. I like what one author says: more than 2,000 years ago, God gave his servant Daniel the understanding of a vision of the future that we recognize as the most comprehensive prophetic insight ever given to man. It was delivered unto Nebuchadnezzar and interpreted by Daniel. Now, this prophecy delivered, notice first of all, it is a symbolic image that is shown to Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 45, the Bible says in the latter portion of the verse, "The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter." And so we see that the king's vision was a vision of not only his kingdom, but of kingdoms that would come hereafter. Again, in verse 28, it says, "And maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." And so this dream begins with Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom in Babylon, but does not end until the rock, which we'll study this morning, which is Jesus Christ, the stone that is cut without hands that would come to destroy the final days kingdom represented by the 10 toes. It would be all the way until the end of the Gentile times. This phrase, the latter days in Daniel 2, speaks about the extended times that the Gentiles would have control over Jerusalem. And so it was a prophetic vision showing forth the kingdoms from the time of Nebuchadnezzar until the time that Christ would come. It was a symbolic image. Notice, secondly, it was a sequential representation. Here in Daniel chapter 2, we see this giant figure of a man, and we also read about this in Daniel chapter 7. We'll not have time to discuss as much of Daniel 7 today, but those of you who've studied Daniel 7 know that there are four sequential beasts, each representing the same kingdoms, and each of them speaking of coming future events. Daniel 7:17 says, "These great beasts which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth." And so Daniel's vision was concerning this giant figure, and you'll see a greater value at the top with the head of gold, and lesser value and different metals as this image progresses downward. And so very quickly, let's take a look at what Nebuchadnezzar saw and what Daniel interpreted. First, Nebuchadnezzar saw a head of gold in verse 32. The head of gold, as Daniel said, represented Babylon. It represented Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom from 606 to 538 BC. And this was the head of gold. This was the powerful dictatorial kingdom led by Nebuchadnezzar. And then the second portion that was seen in verse 32 was the silver arms and chest. And the silver arms and chest represented the Medo-Persian Empire from 538 to 330 BC. And the Medo-Persian Empire also was very expansive over the known world and represented the power and resources of the world of that period of time. The third kingdom was represented by the brass belly and thighs. The brass belly and thighs. And this particular kingdom speaks of the Greek Empire and Alexander the Great, who conquered the Persians in 13 years and who had a tremendously expansive and powerful kingdom. Alexander the Great conquered the Persian Empire and expanded his empire to be the largest to that point in world history. And then we see in the verses we read a moment ago, the legs of iron, also mentioned there in verse 33, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. The legs of iron represent the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire is not specifically mentioned in the Old Testament. It is obviously in the New Testament. This empire, it speaks of the powerful, powerful legs of iron, speak of Rome's tremendous power and unyielding power throughout the known world. And the legs make up half of the image's length, indicating that this empire lasted longer than the other empires. And we'll see a little bit more about this in a moment. Then as Daniel continued speaking of this, he speaks in verse number 33 also of the feet, part of iron and part of clay. And of course, at the feet, there will be the toes of this particular image, which will be a continuation or a revival of the fourth Roman kingdom. The revival of the fourth Roman kingdom, part iron and part clay. We're going to study that at more length in just a moment. Now, this part of the vision in Daniel 2 correlates with the vision in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7. Let me read that. It's in your notes as well. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And so we see in Daniel 2, 10 toes. We see in Daniel 7, 10 horns, and we'll see that as well in Revelation 13 in just a moment. Now, at the conclusion of what Nebuchadnezzar saw, not only did he see this giant figure with the head of gold, and not only did he see this giant figure representing the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, and coming down through Alexander the Great and then to the Roman Empire, but he came then into the 10 toes, and finally there was mentioned this stone in verse 34. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and of clay. Now this image of the feet, which is represented by the 10 toes, this continuation of the former Roman Empire, is going to ultimately be destroyed by a stone cut without hands, which we believe represents the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come and will establish his final kingdom and will destroy the kingdoms that have rebelled against him. The final human kingdom on earth will be the kingdom of Antichrist, but his kingdom will be destroyed by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 21:44, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Jesus said to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And we know through the scriptures that Jesus Christ is the rock. He is the stone cut without hands. And so this was the prophecy as it was delivered. And the image represented kingdoms and coming kingdoms before Nebuchadnezzar as Daniel spake. And this is what Daniel says in Daniel 2 and verse 36. He says, this is the dream. So he has delivered the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. So what an amazing thing that Daniel could stand before Nebuchadnezzar and say, Nebuchadnezzar, here's your dream, and it's been delivered in this way. And that brings us secondly this morning to the prophecy defined. The prophecy is delivered, but now we see the prophecy defined. Now again, through Daniel, God gave King Nebuchadnezzar a composite history of the remaining days of the world, a prophecy of the final Gentile empires. But now let's take a little closer look and let's notice some more emphasis about these different kingdoms. First, there is the Babylonian kingdom. The Babylonian kingdom. And mentioned in verse number 38, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the hand hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Fairly easy to comprehend that Daniel's saying, Nebuchadnezzar, this first kingdom, the head of gold, that is you. It is this Babylonian kingdom. Now, the chief deity in Babylon was a god by the name of Marduk. And Marduk was the god of gold. And this is why the head of gold represented the Babylonian kingdom. And this would have been easily understood for Nebuchadnezzar as Daniel made that interpretation. Daniel mentions this as a great kingdom of power. Nebuchadnezzar was a dictator. Nebuchadnezzar had obviously the largest kingdom in the world, and he was the head of gold. Then we mention the Medo-Persian kingdom, the breast and arms of silver. This second world empire revealed in the king's dream, represented by this image's chest of silver and arms of silver which emerge. The Medo-Persian empire had a king, but he also worked through the work and forces of his princes. Some of you have heard the term, the law of the Medes and Persians, and this was the time period represented here. This is the Medo-Persian empire that conquered Babylon in 539, so it was the next in sequence of the great Gentile kingdoms. And then the third one we saw was the Greek empire. Notice this in verse 39. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the earth. The third world empire revealed within the image is represented in its belly and thighs of bronze. And Daniel told the king that this would be a kingdom of brass. This speaks of the kingdom of Alexander the Great. And in fact, it's specifically mentioned in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 21, which says, "And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king." And so this one is specifically mentioned later in Daniel as the kingdom of Alexander the Great, the Greek Empire. And then the fourth kingdom, now as we define these more thoroughly, the Roman Empire is mentioned in verse 40. "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise." Now remember, this particular time in the life of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel said to him, there is a God that revealeth secrets. There is a God that will let us know about the latter days. And so we're moving from the time of Nebuchadnezzar and going forward in this prophecy given through Daniel. And this kingdom is strong as iron. Now the word iron is used 14 times in Daniel chapter 2, describing Rome. And the Roman Empire had its headquarters obviously in Rome, later in Constantinople, now Istanbul, Turkey. Some believe that the two legs are represented by the two different capitals of this Roman Empire. That's not necessarily that important, but what is important is that Rome was known as a great ruling empire and an empire that had great amounts of resources of iron and used those to their advantage in battle to conquer many different places. Now then let's notice letter E, the revived Roman Empire. The revived Roman Empire, where does that term come from? Notice if you would please in verse 42. "And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." Now in verses 42, 43, and 44, we come to the latter portion of this Roman Empire. Some call it the revival of the Roman Empire. And it is during that particular part of this empire that the Lord Jesus Christ will return and set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Now, obviously, that has not taken place. And so this concluding part, represented by the ten toes and later by the ten horns, is something yet to come, according to Daniel's prophecy. The Lord Jesus Christ has not come to destroy the kingdoms that stood against him and establish his kingdom on this earth. And so this is a final days kingdom. Now notice the quote in your notes. "According to Daniel, there is to be yet another division of the Roman Empire, not a division of the two as indicated by the image's two legs, but of ten as symbolized by its ten toes." And so this final portion of the dream interpreted by Daniel is represented by the 10 toes. Let's take a look at this iron mixed with clay in the feet of Daniel's image. First, it is a final days kingdom, a final days kingdom. The best interpretation I can find of this unstable mix of clay and iron is that it represents the diverse racial, religious, political elements that will comprise the final days kingdom. That kingdom perhaps will include the coming together of Catholicism and Islam, the coming together of monarchies and democratic governments. It will be a very diverse type of a kingdom coming together. Both Daniel and Revelation associate the Antichrist with a confederation of 10 European nations that somehow correspond to the old Roman Empire. We'll learn more in the weeks to come. We'll have an entire message about the Antichrist, but he will have great play with these 10 world powers. Daniel 2, 31 through 35, where we're studying this morning, symbolizes by the 10 toes of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And in Daniel chapter 7, verses 19 through 28, and Revelation 13, verses 1 through 9, symbolize this final time with 10 horns. And so whether the 10 toes or the 10 horns in Daniel and Revelation, we're learning this morning that they speak of 10 coming world powers that come together in the final days. It's a final days kingdom. The 10 toes with the mixed iron and clay represent the final days of the Roman Empire, or the revival of the Roman Empire. Some would refer to it as a new world order. Notice, secondly, there will be at this time a transferring of world power. The 10 toes being kings over the fourth kingdom indicate that the power of the kingdom is transferred to the European or Middle East region. In other words, there will be a revival of great influence, according to Bible prophecy, in the European front, and including the Mediterranean region and the Middle East. There will be a transference. It's interesting, most scholars struggle to know the exact place of America in Bible prophecy. It's not mentioned in the Bible. The United States of America is not mentioned in the Bible. But all would agree that the role of America in the world will diminish significantly according to Bible prophecy. There will come in the last times this transference of world power that will be seated in the European front and will be the overseer and ruler of 10 different geographic centers and 10 different unions that will come together under the power of the Antichrist. Now, again, where America fits into that, time will only tell. But America's role will diminish, and we'll see the power moving towards the revived Roman Empire or the European seat of power. Now, it's interesting that many people believe that America's role will diminish. One of the books that's been read quite frequently by politicians in Washington, including President Barack Obama, is this book, which is entitled The Post-American World, authored by Fareed Zakariyyeh. Fareed Zakariyyeh is a Muslim from India, I believe. And this entire text deals with the fact that America will soon no longer be the dominant world power. And the thesis behind this book is the fact that there will be a shifting of the power in the world back to the Mediterranean region and into the Middle East.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chappell, and he's been teaching and preaching in a series entitled Times Are Changing. We're discovering how accurate Bible prophecy is when looking at today's news headlines, and we're understanding what God has to say about the unfolding of the end of the age. If you'd like to hear this message in its entirety or any of the recent broadcasts, if you'd like to get this entire series, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Online, you can listen to recent broadcasts. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast and download Daily in the Word to your own computer or iPod and take it with you and listen or re-listen to these messages at your own convenience. Would you consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org? You probably know somebody that doesn't live in an area where this program is broadcast. They might benefit from the Bible teaching and preaching. And when you direct them to dailyintheword.org, they can listen to the program and download it to go. And hopefully the teaching of God's Word will encourage and edify those you love. If you would take time to contact us during the month of January, we would like to give you a gift, our way of saying thank you for listening, but also thank you for letting us know that our program is touching your life. This is a small book written by Pastor Chapel entitled All Things Through Christ, the 10 most important words in the life of a believer. I can do all things through Christ. What a great truth. This little booklet will encourage you. It will challenge you in your life to live your life fully dependent upon the power and the presence of Christ in each and every circumstance. It's our gift to you this month when you call or write to us, and we're easy to contact, toll free. That number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. Let us know that our program is touching your life and how this ministry has impacted you. If you'd like to send a letter via mail, you can address your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.